Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Deep divers, do you know someone who really loves themselves? They love themselves so much, they put a ring on it. That's right. And you're like, who did you get married to? And they're like, myself. And you're like, sign me up right away. Peace, infinite waters, diving deep once again. Beautiful deep divers, we are here. I hope your day is going good. Now, deep divers, we're just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Take that, take that, take that good ass energy I'm sending you. Self-love. It's time to talk about self-love. Do you love yourself? Have you been practicing self-love? Do you want to learn how to love yourself? Are you sometimes like, hey, Ralph, I don't like myself. Did you just message me that? Was that you? Well, this video is all about how to get self-love. I'm about to share with you my self-love routine. I love myself, and because I love myself, deep divers, my whole entire life has changed, and so has the cat down the roads, and we ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello there? How to get self-love. Now, deep divers, many, many years ago, I didn't love myself, and I would stare in the mirror thinking, gosh, Ralph, you're not good enough. You don't have enough money. You don't have a good job. It's just not happening for you, Ralph. Everyone else is doing so much better than you. A lot of people write to me asking me to make a video on self-love. Well, here it is, deep divers. Do you sometimes find yourself afflicted with a low self-esteem, not loving yourself? Well, right now, it's time to love yourself again. Self-love is the act of honoring your needs. Keyword, your, not other people's. Slow motion this side. And the lack of self-love is the root of all suffering. You see, what helped me to practice self-love, and you got to realize, deep divers, there are levels to self-love, like there are levels to self-hate. Self-love is never ending because there is always more grapes you can eat, okay? To get self-love, stop putting yourself down, deep divers. The moment I stopped putting myself down, self-love came. You see, oftentimes we think people are against us. No, nobody is against you if you aren't against yourself. Slow motion this side. You are your biggest obstacle. Move out of your own way. Instead of putting yourself down, start lifting yourself up. Instead of hating yourself for everything you want, Ralph, I don't have a good body. I don't have a butt. Hers is fake. Don't worry about it. Instead of hating yourself for everything you want, start loving yourself for everything you are. Practical exercise time. I want you to write down five attributes that you love about yourself. I don't have five, Ralph. Well, write down one, okay? And just by you focusing on what is working with you, all of a sudden, you develop a deep appreciation for yourself. You see, many times we focus on what isn't working. We focus on our flaws, right? We focus on our flaws, and this turns into self-hate because we're coming from a place of lack. To get self-love, you have to come from a place. You got to come from a place of gratitude, deep divers. Like, I know I got a really nice smile. Yeah. Stop feeling ashamed of how bomb-ass you are, because you are awesome. Deep divers, how to get self-love, my self-love routine. Now, many times we live for the outside. And what's helped me is to live for the inside. In other words, I'm not concerned with other people knowing me. Just because I've got a YouTube Gold Award and I'm internet famous, I don't care about that. I'm all about the relationship with myself, because if I've got a good relationship with myself, I can keep sharing with you wonderful deep divers. So to get self-love, what helped me was to say, actually, the greatest relationship I can have is with myself. Get to know yourself. Go into nature alone and find out who you really are, because then you will have more for... Then, deep divers, oh baby, you will have more of an appreciation of who you really are. You're gonna find that you are multi-layered, you're so deep, and all of these sides of yourself you're gonna come to embrace. Deep divers, how to get self-love. Go to the place where you find your greatest power. This is probably one of the best ways to get self-love. You see, self-love is the act of honoring your needs. How many times, deep divers, have you stayed in a job way too long that's not serving you? You feel miserable. But Ralph, what? My mom told me to get it. Ralph, what? My friends told me to get it, and it's not making me happy. How many times have you stayed in a relationship, ladies and fellas, that's not serving you? You have been dishonoring your needs, and that leads to self-hate. Self-love is when you honor your needs, and that means you have to go to the place where you find your greatest power. I love skating. When I'm skating, I'm loving myself. When I'm eating a bunch of grapes, I'm loving myself. When I'm with you wonderful deep divers, I'm loving myself because I'm going to the place where I find my greatest power. So seek out places, deep divers, and experiences that empower you. Deep divers, how to get self-love, my self-love routine. Take a break, and I take a break from people, including you. I love you. I love you. I love you, okay? I take a break from people, places, and things, right? We have to remove ourselves from the crowd to get to know ourselves. And self-love, for me, it's all about self-care, deep divers. Go for a massage in nature. Treat yourself. You see, self-love is not selfish. It's important. Slow motion this side. And that means we have to practice self-care. Stop filling everyone else's cup. Learn how to fill your own cup. I'm in Whole Foods talking to a friend. He said, I'm full of myself. If I'm not full of myself, who else am I going to be full of, right? Made perfect sense. Like, you got to learn how to fill your own cup first so your cup runneth over and then we can all taste a sip, right? Deep divers, how to get self-love. Be weird. Own your weirdness. Realize nobody is you. The reason why a lot of us can't love ourselves is because we're trying to fit in. We're trying to copy what other people are doing because it seems like it's a thing to do. I don't follow trends. I don't care what anyone else is doing, how they dress. I'm going to do me. You do you and I do me. That's how to get self-love. Be original. An original is always worth more than a copy. Deep divers, how to get self-love. Invest in your inner world. 7-day vegan challenge, that means buying delicious superfoods that can help you become healthy. Eat to heal yourself. That's how to get self-love. Many times we think self-love has everything to do with just the external. No, it's got everything to do with investing in the internal. Invest in inner experiences. Meditation has helped me to get self-love because when I'm meditating, I'm reconnecting back to the truth of who I really am. So I'm investing in the inner experiences more than the outer experiences, okay? So to get self-love, deep divers, it's all about accepting yourself, going to the place where you find your greatest power, and realizing you don't have to compete with anyone because you are a unique masterpiece. Self-love is a process, and it's a never-ending process. We can all love ourselves a lot more, but self-care is a great remedy to love yourself, and then you'll just say, feels so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello there? Say it with me, deep divers. I love myself. Say it. I love myself, Ralph. Deep divers were just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Get the amazing good ass prana shirts, deep divers, at ralphsmart.com/clothes. We are doing the good ass prana model search. If you think you have what it takes, DM me on Instagram at Infinite Waters. Big deal for you. Check out the new amazing book on Amazon, Feel Alive by Ralph Smart. Got a question? Follow me on Instagram at Infinite Waters. Deep divers. Self-love is the secret to becoming your greatest version. Have a beautiful day. Infinite Waters, diving deep once again. Stay well, stay healthy, peace. You! And to really get that self-love, just take a moment for yourself just to... Woo! Have an orgasm with that good-ass prana, baby. Peace.
All right, guys, royalty, royalty, royalty. Thank you guys for tuning in to another On Enhancement Awareness Radio, guys. This is Motivational Classroom. And one second. All right, I appreciate those who, you know, continue to be supporters of Enhancement Awareness Radio, guys. I like to come on the weekends, guys, and pretty much just share research material that I found, and also just, you know, learn together, grow together, guys. So a few years ago, I had got introduced to a lady named Dolores Cannon. Wonderful, wonderful lady. And I think she is a hypnotherapist, I believe. And she talks a lot about hypnotherapy and extraterrestrials. I mean, she's an amazing guy. If you have not heard about Dolores Cannon, she's passed now. So I was lucky to, you know, see her do her teachings while she was alive, right? But she recently passed, a wonderful lady. So thank you, thank you, thank you for the teachings that you left, this being one of them. And she talked about the three waves. I got one of her books as well. I can't remember the name of the book, but I'm pretty sure she'll give you guys some books. But any of you guys that like to study, like to research, you know, any of you that's no stranger to the classroom, this is one of them that you just kind of, you know, put around your house, listen to it while you're cleaning, like I'm going to do. And, you know, just this is a reminder for me, you know. And what she talks about, three waves. the three ways of volunteers, you know, a lot of people be like, okay, why am I here? What is my purpose? You know, what, so on a collective aspect, guys, what if there are just bigger purposes, you know what I mean, for our lives? And we do know the energy space into which you incarnate into this realm is for a reason. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us, you know, with all of this stuff that is going on in the world and all this stuff that is intentionally fed to us in the world that we just, we tend to don't pay attention. So I admire those who do pay attention to, you know, the esoterical things that go on, the esoteric sciences. So I hope you guys enjoyed this, and she entitles it The Three Ways, guys. So let's listen.
Listen, you'll be notified when it comes up.
Oh, and just to let you guys know, as always, all of my video credits, that was Ralph Smart to start off with. Love Ralph Smart. You know, Infinite Waters on YouTube, guys, Ralph Smart. And this one is called Dolores Cannon, The Three Ways of Volunteers. All videos are going to be credited to its original owner in the show notes after every show, guys. If I do not have my credits in the show notes for whatever reason, you can email me, you know, so I can reference you out to the source that I got, you know, the classroom material from. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one. This one is about almost 2 hours long, and then I'm going to go ahead and close out. But, yeah, this was a very good one, guys. I've re-listened to this one 2 or 3 times. So, again, it's always good to have a daily reminder. Oh, I wanted to read something to you guys because affirmations is so important, you know, to kick off your day, to kick off your week. I like to do mine to kick off a podcast. So many of you guys know that I love affirmations, right? And I wake up every day saying thank you, thank you, thank you, just with the intention of gratitude, right? It sets the tone. So a friend of mine actually wrote this yesterday, and this is something that I practice, and it does work, guys. But I just wanted to share with you guys. He goes, life hack, write down 10 positive affirmations about yourself in the mirror each day, 21 days, and read them aloud. We are watcher, and we have the power to transform our reality through positive vibrations, okay? So if you, for yourself, some people don't want to do it, and that's okay. But for yourself, if you are really on this essence wave of really shifting your energy and your vibration and balance, guys, the affirmations, the mirror work, I talked about it for years, guys, you know, and I did my shit, right? But it really works. And I mean, I promise you guys, perfection, you know, when in doing work, you know, in balance that you really are not used to doing, you know what I'm saying? It really, repetition is the mother of all skills. There it is. Try something new. Repetition is the mother of all skills. It works. It really, really does. Like they say in recovery, it really, really, some shit to that effect, right? But yeah, the life hack. So shout out to my homie that wrote that, guys. All right, so let's go ahead and take a listen. And as you guys know, I'll be back to close out.
All right. Well, one thing, you know, I've written 15 books, and what we did, if you didn't know about it, this one here, we said we were going to be like Disney and open up the vault and let out the ones who have been out of print. This one was out of print for several years, this Legacy from the Stars. And we kept getting emails and people saying, don't you have a damaged, torn up copy around somewhere? Because they wanted to have all of them. And we found on Amazon they were selling this for $100 for a used copy. And so we said, you know, we should have held on to something. But we said, maybe we better bring it back out and at least a limited edition. Of course, the people who are selling them for that price are not going to be happy. But so we have printed it again, and it's Legacy from the Stars. So now all of them are out. But there are some of mine that we're going to go out of print. So you never know. If the demand comes up again, we may reprint them. You probably know this one is the one I sat on for 40 years. That's the one of my beginning. That came out after the conference, I believe, in July. I don't think we had it at the conference, did we, last year? A lot of you know how it started out, I think. I'm just going to give a little abbreviated version. But I've been doing hypnosis for over 40 years. I started out in the 1960s when nobody knew anything about any of it. And this is the story of how it all began. That's what we call it, the beginning. But when I started out 40 years ago, we were just doing hypnosis for habits. Stop smoking, lose weight, watch the shiny object, that kind of thing, the long, drawn-out induction techniques, which aren't done anymore. But that was all we were doing it for. And we accidentally, if anything is ever an accident, we stumbled into reincarnation. So it's quite a story because in those days there was nothing out to tell anybody what to do. New Age wasn't heard of yet. We didn't hardly hear about reincarnation in this part of the world at all. They didn't know anything about past life regression. Hypnosis was not done for that. The only book out at that time was The Search for Bridie Murphy. And that one wouldn't even be published today. It's too simple, too ordinary. But that was the only thing out at that time. There were no books to tell any hypnotist what to do if you did get into a situation where there were past lives would come up. So we started out in the very, very beginning. And this is the story of my husband and I and how it all happened and how we came to a very tragic end. But it was all designed to get me to where I am right now. How many of you don't know how I started? There's not very many. I'll just give it real brief because we have a lot of information to cover tonight. But my husband and I were living on a Navy base. He was career Navy, 21 years. And he was stationed down in Texas. He just got back from Vietnam. And we learned how to do hypnosis, and just the simple kind. And we were working on that, helping people on the base. And the doctor on the base had a case of a young woman who was called nervous eating. Is that echoing to you? Is it? Okay, yeah, because it to me it's bouncing off the wall. I'm getting all kinds of sound distortions. Well, he had a woman who was, he called nervous eating. She was very obese, and her kidneys were bad. And he asked us, could we just get her to relax? That was all he wanted us to do. And when we were doing the sessions with her, she ended up going back into a past life, where she was in Chicago in the 1920s as a roaring flapper, living with the gang. And it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because it was totally unexpected. So even from the beginning, without knowing what we were doing, having any instructions at all, we dove right into all of this because of curiosity. And we ended up taking her through five lives. That's why it's called Five Lives Remembered. But in those days, nobody knew anything about it. So the people on the base began to hear what we were doing. We kept it anonymous, and they came to the house and was listening to the next chapter. We were doing all of this on the portable recorder of the day. Those big real trails. You remember the portable? You could hardly lift the thing. And we had to do it at the house. And they would come because they wanted to know the next chapter. Nobody ever heard about anything like this. It was the way it was opening people's minds to something totally unknown in those days. And everybody began talking about it. Well, we took her through five different lives, and then in the middle of all of this, my husband was almost killed. He made it back from Vietnam fine, but he was on his way to the base one night and was almost killed by a drunken officer who hit him head-on, and he had a Volkswagen bus. Can you imagine what the head-on collision in a Volkswagen bus is? There's nothing in front of you. There's no motor or anything, so he was ground into the metal. He should have died that night. It was very, very bad. His entire body was crushed. So what ended up happening, they had to cut him out, cut the wreckage apart. They didn't have those jaws of life in those days. And they brought in the helicopter and got him into the hospital. And when I got there, well, the only thing that saved his life was there was a corpsman following him behind, in the car behind him, who had just got back from Vietnam. So he knew how to work with trauma cases. Otherwise, he would have bled to death right there because he lost all the blood in his body. His body was crushed. His face was torn apart. And they got him into the helicopter and got him to the hospital. And then I followed over there. They came and got me. So at the hospital, when I was waiting, he was in intensive care. Five doctors, one after the other, came out and said, there's no way he can live. There's too much trauma to the body. All these lists of things that were going to kill him during the night. Well, when we were doing this hypnosis experiment, not knowing what we were doing, no rules or anything, we were trying everything. So toward the end, we had her go into the future. And we said, just to see, out of curiosity, what we would be doing and what she would be doing. So we took her into the future, and she saw us living in the situation where we are now. We live on top of a mountain out here in Arkansas, in the country. And she saw us there with grandchildren. So that was all she said. But that night, when the doctors were telling me there was no way he could possibly live, I kept telling them, you're wrong, you're wrong. I couldn't tell him how I knew. I knew if she saw us in the future, he had to be going to live through all of this. But what happened was so magnificent, because when we took her through the five lives, she went back to the beginning where she was created by God. And we found a God that was so love and full of love, I knew he couldn't punish somebody for just asking questions and wanting to know more information. So I knew we had to believe it. I had to believe it all. So I knew he wasn't going to die that night. But in the days that followed, they had to put him back together piece by piece. They called him the Miracle Man because they said they had no way he could have lived through any of this. And if he did live, he was going to be a vegetable because of all the brain trauma. Well, they thought they were going to do plastic surgery, and the doctors came and told me, we're not going to have to do anything. Every space is going back together without anything being done. Of course, he was unconscious there for several months as all this was happening. The thing about it was, you've got to think, I guess, we changed the belief system of a lot of people on that date. And the word began to get around what had happened to him. They were all saying, this is your punishment for what you were doing. Peeking around the hidden corners, reincarnation, for goodness sake, work of the devil. And so they kept saying, this is what was happening to us because of what we were involved with. I couldn't believe it. I never could. So it ended up anyway, he was in the hospital for a year, 8 months in a body cast. I couldn't even begin to imagine what that would be like to not be able to move for 8 months. But when he was finally put out of the Navy, and we moved to Arkansas. Well, we had to build our life all over again. And he was in a wheelchair for 25 years. So during that time, I had to put the idea of hypnosis on the back burner while I was taking care of him and raising a big family. So it was 10 years. Now it would be over 30 years ago I decided to get back into this. It's like, what do you do now with the empty nest syndrome when the kids are leaving? They're going off getting married and going to college. What are you going to do with your life? That experience that we had opened a door. I found we could time travel. We could go through time. We could be there in these things. It was wonderful adventure. And I said, that's what I want to do. That's the kind of therapy I want to do, is take people in past lives. So that's what, when it came time, I started learning some of the newer methods. that were now involving imagery and visualization. And as I did them, I was focusing on past life regression, the past life therapy. Then I began to develop my own system because I never had any rules or regulations. So my whole training has been just what I have learned myself over the last 30 years. So during this last 30 years, I found a way to contact what I call the source of all knowledge. This is not your normal hypnosis. I think when you take these classes, you're taught by what somebody was taught them, or somebody taught them, or somebody taught them going all the way back. You never really know why you're doing what you're doing. But because I didn't have that, I was free to experiment. And as I began to develop the technique, I said, why do I have to do those things? Because then it's easier to do it a different way. So that's why I developed my own way of doing hypnosis. And this is what I'm teaching now all over the world, because I found a way. The past lives are the beginning, the very tip of the iceberg. And if you read my earlier book, they deal with when I was beginning, when I call time travel, going back in time when the person was there in that time period and living what was happening to them. It was really time travel. That was my first book that I was writing about those cases that came to me. And people said, how did I find my subject? I never went looking for anybody. They found me in the hills of Arkansas, but I think they had a lot to do with all of this. Nothing is ever a coincidence. So the ones, our first books I wrote were the Jesus books, and then the Nostradamus books came along. But as I developed the technique, I worked in the deepest possible level of trance. I have to understand these things, because sometimes I give a lecture, and at the end of the lecture, somebody will say, I still don't understand how you got this information. So that's why I'm trying to give you a little bit of background. But I work in the deepest possible level of trance. And the other methods always say, don't go there. Don't work in the deep level. Strange things happen there. If you read my books, you know strange things happen there. But to me, that's where all the information is and all of the knowledge. So I'd rather work in the deep level. You get the conscious mind out of the picture. It cannot interfere. And it is like going through time tunnels. The person is there. They are that person. Anything in our time period that did not exist in their time period, they won't even know what you're talking about. They are totally there. So to me, as a curious person, that was really a wonderful way to research history. Now, people say they think I'm a psychic or a channel. I'm not. I'm a hypnotherapist, and I consider myself to be the reporter, the investigator, the researcher of lost knowledge, because as I did this work, I began to get information that had been lost, never known, or forgotten, and I was supposed to bring it back into our time period. That's where my books are. They keep coming and coming, and more information is there. But where my information comes from and where the healing in my work comes from is this power that I'm telling you about. That's why I said having a past life regression, anybody can do it that knows how. That's the tip of the iceberg. You're going to get some information, but you're not going to get what is possible. And that's why I go to this other source. The part that I get my information from, I call it the subconscious. But it's not the subconscious the way it's defined by psychiatrists. That's a childish part of the mind. That's the part of the mind that you use when you're doing habits, stop smoking and lose weight. That's just not the part that I work with. I called it subconscious because I didn't know what else to call it. It began coming through over the years, and then I found a way to call it in, and now I work with it constantly. But you may say, you want to define it, you may say it's the oversoul, the higher self, the higher consciousness. It is so big and so huge, it has the answers to it is so full of love. It's so big, but yet it cares about each and every person. It's beautiful to work with. And this is where the healings come from. I'm not doing any of it. I'm just a facilitator. But I see miracles every day in my office now because I found a way to call it in during the session, and it does the healing. And I've seen it happen instantly in one session. I have people coming now from all over the world just for a session. And I don't encourage that because, you know, that's a long way to come. I see lots of cancer cases. I call them they, because I asked them one time, who am I speaking to? What is this? And they say, you may want to say we are the collective. I said, that sounds like the Borg on Star Trek. We're the collective. We are a group. And people say, well, maybe you're speaking to their guides and guardian angels. No. The guides and the guardian angels have a purpose. But they're down here. You can get information from them, but not this kind of information. And they say, maybe you're speaking to the Ascended Master. That's not what it is either. Because I've been told the Ascended Masters are just like you. They're beings. They're people. They're the ones who have got enough knowledge. They don't need to come back to Earth anymore. They are over there and doing their job, but they're still in that other part. What I'm speaking to is way, way above that, and it is full of love. When I work, you can feel the love in the room. In my classes now, we have a website where they can interact and talk to each other, so they're never left alone out there. If they have difficulty in cases, they can talk to each other and ask for advice. And we just had one come the other day. People say, if they teach your class, can they do what you do? They can. Because one of them on the website said, when I'm working with the subconscious, they said, I want to get on my knees. It's so powerful and so full of love. And she said, I've seen what they can do. And the energy is tremendous. And that's what I'm working with all the time. And I think it comes over on me because I mend that energy all the time. Over the time, I did the UFO work and ET work for 25 years, and I got a lot of information there because I was speaking directly to the ET. But then it began to go into this more complicated information, and that's when I started writing the convoluted universe theory, because it was going beyond UFOs, and that's when they began coming in and giving us this more complicated metaphysical theory and concept. They've told me all of their questions will never be answered. Some knowledge is as poison rather than medicine, because the human mind is incapable of understanding it. There is nothing in the human mind that can handle the totality of all of it. It's way, way beyond us. They said it's not the human brain, it's the mind. They can give us some things. They can give us information, and they do the best they can. I'm so full of questions. I want to know everything. And they make jokes about that. So see, how can this be a phase of fraud, and I've been accused of everything, but it happens to every single person that comes to see me. And I see thousands and thousands of people. It's always the same voice, always the same terminology, the same phrases, and they go to work instantly. But we've tapped into something that knows every single one of you, knows all about you. There are no secrets at all. That's how it knows why you have the problem and it can handle it. But that's the part that I work with. And I see lots of cancer patients. They dissolve the tumors instantly. This is what's amazing. I see this happen again and again and again. But see, first you have to find why this happened. Because, you know, the ideal state of the human body should be perfect health at all times. You should never, ever be sick. The The human body is a miraculous machine that has been created to take care of itself and heal itself if we don't interfere. That means the doctors are not necessary. I have doctors coming to me as clients. I have psychiatrists coming. Every walk of life you can possibly imagine. Everybody's got a problem, and people are very complicated. That's what I do is the counseling and the therapy with them. But we're finding out that what some of these doctors are telling me, they're getting out of the medical profession and going over into alternative and natural healing. Because that's where it is. And I'm working with doctors now all over the world. I teach a class at the college in New Mexico that is involved with alternative healing. So this is, to me, is the way we're going. This is the they say it's the therapy of the future, is the natural. So, if you make yourself sick, your mind is that powerful to heal you. First, you're going to find out, why did I do this to myself? And people tell me, I don't want to be sick. What do you mean? Every illness you have created yourself, you've done it. And that's what we find out is why. Why did I do this to myself? What am I trying to tell myself? Every ache, pain, symptom is a message to you. It's trying to tell you something. You're going to find out, what is it trying to tell you? And when you find out, it's going to go away, because why should you keep trying to give you the message once you've already received it and understood it? This is the way it works, and it's miraculous. I've had people come who were, a lot of them come that are scheduled for surgery, because they say, no surgery, no invasion of the body. It's totally unnecessary. And they say once something's been taken out, you can't put it back. If you can get it before it's taken out. And they also say no drugs. Every drug has a side effect. That's why they encourage the use of natural herbs and minerals and things like that. And that's just what I mean. I'm working with the natural doctors. And we have in our office, on our Rolodex, the numbers of people who have left the medical profession and opened their own natural health clinic. So people do call us for references. But once you understand all of this, this is what I work with. And we do go to the past life, because sometimes we get information there that's going to help the person. But it's not all there is. When we get to them, then everything is gone. And this is where the information comes from that I write about. And it doesn't come through one person. It comes through many, many, many people. To me, it's like putting a puzzle together. I'll get one piece of information from one person, another piece from somebody else, and then eventually begins to all make sense, and I'll get the whole story. And this has been happening for years. And if you've read The Convoluted Universe, this is where all of a sudden session will not be past lives. It'll be going to a place where this information has to come through. It's what's best for the person, but also it's giving me the information they want me to pass on. To show there's no way this could be made up, I would be in England doing a session with someone. They never interrupt the therapy part. They always try to take care of the person. But toward the end of the session, they'll say, Dolores, this is the next piece of information you need for your next book, the next theory. And they'll give me something I've never heard of before. And if I don't understand it, I'll say, can you make it a little clearer? Because they say our minds are incapable of handling it. I said, well, give me an analogy. Give me something so I can understand what you're trying to tell me. And they do the best they can in our limited human language. They go with symbols, with mind to mind. It's much easier. So they said, we'll do the best we can. But give me some information. And this is the next concept, and it'll always be something I haven't heard of. Then maybe a week later, I'll be back in the States doing another session with somebody else. It'll happen again. It'll come through at the end of the session. Continue talking about what they have done the week before. so they expand upon the knowledge and the information they want me to have. That's why it takes a while to get all the pieces together. And if you've read the Convoluted Universe books, you know it's what it is. I try to put several sessions together on the same subject. But it's amazing the information that keeps coming in. This is where the Convoluted Universe books came from. Each one's a little more complicated and a little more complicated as I got more and more information. When I got to the end of Convoluted 3, if you've read that one, I was going to end it with a chapter that was called The Final Solution of what was going to happen if we didn't get our act together, that there are souls on Earth who are here to destroy all of us if we don't get our act together. And these are people who have no knowledge of these things consciously. It's their contract fixing men with, and it's in the subconscious level. And so they're as amazed as anybody when this information comes out. Well, I was going to end the book with that, and my daughter Julia said, no, that's too negative. You need to end it on something that's more hopeful. Although the book was already getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, that book ended up being 700 pages. Well, the next week, I was in Montreal, and they came through and took over the entire session, and they gave me the last chapter was the absorption. And there was also information I'd never heard before. But at the end of the chapter, I said, well, I don't think there's anything left that you can tell me, because they keep giving me, they keep expanding my mind. And because what I'm getting now, I should never have understood when I began 30 years ago. They are so wise. They said, if you can't give it to you all at once, they drop little crumbs, digest it, one little spoonful, then they move on. Give you a little more. Once you digest that, give you a little more. And that's how it's been all of this time. What I'm getting now, I would never have understood in the beginning. I would have just thrown it away and said, no, it doesn't make any sense. But they're very wise about that. So at the end of that chapter, when I said, I don't think there's anything left you can tell me, they said, oh, there's more. There's more. And I ended that book at that. There is more coming. During one session, one of the most common questions, I call it the eternal question, that everybody wants to know that comes to see me. They all want to know, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Am I on the right track? Some people are worried that they're running out of time and they're not going to be able to do their purpose. And they will tell the person if it's appropriate, because sometimes it's not time for you to know. And everything has to have its time. And one man, I always tell them that. They'll tell you if it's appropriate. This one man wanted to know what his purpose was. They came through and said, we can't tell him. It's not time. But they said, oh, we wish we could. You don't know what we see. But they said, consider he's where you were 20 years ago. You don't give a baby a three-course meal. You give a baby milk, and you give a baby cereal, crushed vegetables. You don't give a baby a steak. So you have to go slowly. That's what I mean by spoon feeding. That's why I didn't think people could understand the convoluted universe theory, because it was full of such complicated concepts. People said they don't care. They don't know. They don't understand it. They make them ask questions. So that's where it just keeps going in that direction. The times I wish we could go back to the simpler days when it was the history that I was working on. I've got tons of information that will be books down the line on history the way it really was. That's a book further on. I love that, but there it keeps going into these other directions, and I have to follow where it is. I'm working on Convoluted 4 now. People keep saying, you got enough information. It pours out of people. I have enough information for 3 more books. That's the problem. It's too much. So I'm trying to decide to compartmentalize it. Is it going to go in this book or this book or that book? But there is enough for Tumblr to explore, and there's more concepts that we haven't even approached. Some of them I'll be talking about tonight. But it just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. So, and there's other information coming through on other topics that I think will have to be a separate book. So it's all getting there. Everybody keeps saying, when's Tumblr the 4 coming out? Well, it's still in my computer right now. And then I'm still having sessions, and more keeps coming. Okay. Now, hoping you understand how I get this. What's his name? Jung? Is that how you pronounce it? The psychiatrist. One of the fathers of psychiatrists was Freud and Jung. I was going to say Jung instead of Jung. When he was doing his work in the very, very beginning of psychiatry, he was using hypnosis. And he discovered what he called the universal consciousness. I think this was the same thing. Found it. He was afraid of it. And he stopped his work. And he never did hypnosis again. He went over into the theory of psychiatry and developed that branch instead. If only he had stayed with this, I think we would have been much further ahead by now. But he didn't know what he was dealing with, and it was very frightening. But I'm just so curious. And I love the energy, so that's the part I'm working with. Okay. So the part we're going to be focusing on tonight is what I've been lecturing about lately. I've gone away from the Nostradamus prophecies because I lectured on that for 20 years. My books are the only ones that have ever translated and interpreted all 1,000 of the prophecies. It's the most accurate interpretation that's ever been written. It took 3 years to do it, and direct contact with Nostradamus himself as he was writing them. Fantastic story. And for 20 years, I was lecturing on that all over the world. But he kept saying, this, and I'm telling you, is the worst. This is the worst case scenario. This is what would happen if you don't do something to stop it. And that's what he was telling us this for. And he wanted me to go all over the world and tell people the power they have to change these predictions. He said, if you know which path you're going down, you can do something to stop it with the power of your mind. Because he said, you don't realize the power of your mind. And if the power of one man's mind is powerful enough to change something, imagine the power of group mind. Because it's not only multiplied, it is squared. And the power is tremendous. That's why he wanted me to go places and tell people they have metaphysical groups, they have prayer groups, any kind of a group. If they could just take 5 minutes out of their meetings and focus on peace and harmony, that would be the world we would create. So that's what I was doing all that time. And I think we've made a difference because the worst has not happened. He saw time as not a straight line. He saw it going off in many different branches of all the probabilities and possibilities that are possible. From the worst to the least of any situation. It all depends on what people do. The same is true in your life. You come to crossroads and you know if you took one branch, your life would be totally different than the other branch. That was what he saw. He saw all the possibilities. And if you knew which line you were traveling down and knew where it was going, you could make changes by focusing on the opposite of what he saw. So that was what I was doing all these years. And according to the prophecies, we should have been in a terrible war with the Middle East by the beginning of the year 2000. Well, it hasn't happened. We did go to war, but I believe now we went into one of the lesser paths that he saw. People say, well, they didn't come true. I think they did. We just went into another timeline that's taken us away from that. So now we're headed into the time of the great genius and the time of computers and all of those things he saw about computers and the world we're going into and the new world. He saw all of that. That's where we're headed. heading now, and I think we have avoided the worst that we were headed down before all of this happened. So anyway, where was I going with all this? That was what I was focusing on all that time. But now, the information we're getting, we are going in a different direction. And what I'm lecturing on now is what I'm doing on the because people have heard me on there. We talk all night long on the radio. And believe me, that's a long time. At least they have commercial breaks. And I just did the project too, and they wanted me to focus on the three ways to volunteer. So that's the ones I'm going to be talking about tonight are the three ways. And this took a long time to get all the pieces. It's scattered throughout the Convoluted Universe book as I got little pieces of what it was all about. And then it's only been over the last year or so I began to get more pieces that ties the whole story together. So in order to explain all of this, I've got to go back to the beginning of the world. That's a long way. But you all understand where I get my information from now. I just have a memory that never forgets anything. So I have to have all of this information, all of these parts, and be able to remember it all and then put it together and refer back and forth between the different books. So maybe that's why I'm supposed to be doing this. I don't know, but I have such a curiosity about history. I want to know everything. So maybe that's, I got chosen for this, or whatever you want to say. I can't get out of it now, that's for sure. Okay. The information goes back, and it's in the Kitchens of the Garden is where we had the first information about the seeding of the planet Earth and where we all came from. And then the Custodians is the story of my 25 years working with the UFOs and ETs. They expand upon this information. Because they said, you must know the story of how life began on Earth. So I'm going to have to go back that far so you'll understand what's happening right now and why we're going into the new Earth and what's happening to the people in the three ways that all fits together. Well, in the beginning of life on Earth, over planets, there are councils over solar systems, there are councils over galaxies. Each one of them has rules and regulations that they live by. Nothing is random. Everything is very regulated out there. So they keep watch over all of the planets. And you can imagine what a job that would be. They keep track of everything. And they said in these councils are the history of all of the planets. They said when a planet reaches the point when it can support life, that's a very momentous time in the history of that planet. And at that time, they get to decide what kind of life are we going to introduce on that planet. And I think with this kind of a group, you can follow these things because people say, what does God have to do with any of this? God is very much involved, too. It's the evolutionary theory and the creationist theory mixed together, and it all fits beautifully the way they explain it. To when the Earth was forming, and whenever the volcanoes were erupting, there was no life on Earth. There was just so much ammonia in the air. I had to go back to those times and tell me what the life was like at that time. I've had them go to the times whenever life is being created. Many of you probably had these past lives too, but you don't remember these things on a conscious level. I've had them go to where they were helping form the ocean, form the first life. Because we've all been creators. We've all been parts of this. We just don't remember because we're focused on this life right now. But if it's important for the person to know, it will all come out. So I think I'm not going against three systems. Just stay with me on this. So when they said the planet got to the point it can support life, there is a group that was called the Archaic Ones, the Ancient Ones, have been around forever. They are the ones who began the seeding of the planet Earth. They did it because in their beginning, that's how they started. Someone came and seeded life on their planet. And when they got to the point that they could travel in space, they began going through the galaxy, planting seeds also, and developing races that got to the point where they could carry on the work. Eventually, we're going to be involved in the same thing. And you know, with the curiosity of our scientists, if they find a planet out there they think can grow something, you know they're going to do it. And they said, we will be a very welcome addition to what they call the Federation because of our curiosity and our creativity. So we will all be a part of this at the time. I've had people go back to when they were there, when the Earth was being cooled down, when the oxygen, the ammonia in the air was being taken out so that life could form. First you had to have the atmosphere, then you had to have the water, then you had to have the plants. And they were there doing all of these steps. Many of these people have gone to lives where they were the seeders, the planters. And other ones have gone to lives when they were the recorders, where they had to go back and see how things were advancing, how they were developing. All of this must have taken millions of years, but this is part of what they do. They go throughout the galaxy checking on all these different things. Kind of stay too much on one subject here, but it's quite complicated. Okay, so I asked them one time, where did the cells come from that began the whole thing? They said it doesn't matter. They come from everywhere. As they travel through the universe, they are collecting cells. They're collecting sperm and ova to be used in these projects down the line. This is part of what they do. They collect animals. They collect everything because they will be used. And when they first brought the cells and put them on Earth, the idea was to get it to develop into a multi-celled organism to start dividing. They didn't care what it was going to develop into. They didn't care what it was going to look like as long as life would be established on Earth. Because it all depends on the primeval soup in the atmosphere and the chemicals on what anything is going to look like. They told me one time, you'd be surprised what you could have looked like. But the species develops according to the line it goes. We developed along the mammal line. Other planets develop along the reptilian line or the insectoid line. It doesn't matter. Some of them are combinations of different types. We developed along the mammal line. But they bring in the cells, and they get them to turning into multi-celled organisms. They come back from time to time checking on everything. So you have no idea how fragile life is, because sometimes it would come back, and it had been developing. Something was beginning to form. And then they would come back and check on it again, and it had all fallen apart and died. They said, life is so fragile. They have no idea how important life is and how delicate it is. If they can get it going and keep it going. So then it begins to develop into plants, animals, and I'm going to condense a great deal here because I've done lectures on just this for a long, many hours. So it develops into animals eventually. Then it came to the point they were going to have a human, something that had knowledge and intelligence. Like I said, we were going along the mammal line. So they picked the ape because it had a large brain and also because it had hands. Had to have hands that would be able to make tools to create a civilization. So there was a lot of work done to change the ape with the genetic manipulation of the gene and to develop it into a person. They said, you will never, ever find the missing link. That's because it jumped generations. Because it just happened so fast. This is what a scientist can't understand. Even Darwin said he understood evolution through the animals and the plants. Well, then got to man, it didn't make any sense at all. But that was when it jumped. So when they finally developed an intelligent human being, something that could begin to build cities and plants, then they knew they had to come and live among the developing species. no species ever just came out of the jungle and decided they're going to start planting and start building houses. They're out there hunting and gathering. So when they came and lived among the people, this is where your legends of the gods came from. They lived as long as they wanted. And they lived with the people to give them the knowledge they were going to need as they went along. Every culture in the world has the legend of the culture bringer. And the culture bringer always comes from the sky or from across the water. They all have, the Indians have their corn woman who brought them corn. The other ones have the ones who bring them fire. They all have these gods that they worship because they live there. And I've had people go back to those times and they say, why do they call us gods? We're just beings. And they were just there to make sure everything was flowing okay. This was supposed to be a planet, a beautiful, beautiful planet with a species that would never get sick and never grow old. It was supposed to be a perfect species. Maybe that's where the idea of the Garden of Eden came from. I don't know. It was supposed to be a perfect species. And they said, give this beautiful people intelligence and free will and see what they do with it. Many planets in the universe don't have free will. I've had people go to those planets, and it's a totally different way of living if you don't have free will. Some of them were really glad to get out of that life because they're not at all what you think. But free will is very important. So they said, we cannot ever go against the free will. And they give us free will. That's what was supposed to happen. We were never supposed to grow old. We were never supposed to die. We were never supposed to get sick. But something happened that spoiled the plan. A meteorite hit the earth. And when the meteorite hit the earth, it brought in bacteria for the first time that created disease. Before that, there wasn't anything. And they were heartbroken. There was a show on Nova years ago where they were talking about the different kinds of life on Earth. They said there's two kinds of life on Earth, bacteria and everything else. But the bacteria was the foreign element. It didn't belong. And this is what created disease. But when this happened, they said, what are we going to do now? They went back to the councils, and they had the meetings, and there was great sadness in the councils. It was like, well, what do we do? Do we wipe the whole thing out and start all over again? Or do we let it keep continue to develop the way it is, knowing it will never be the perfect people we expected it to be? It was decided that so much work had been done to allow it to continue to develop, even though they knew it would never be perfect. Now, see, a lot of this, I think you would go along with if I do UFO lectures on why they're doing the experimentations of the sperms and the ova and all of that. They are bringing us back to the perfect state we're supposed to be. You understand all of these things. There's no negativity in what any of them are doing. They're taking care of us since the beginning of time. One time they said in one of the sessions, why do people keep saying we're here to take over the world? It's ours. It always has been. We can't do anything to you as bad as you do to yourself. So they've been watching us all this time and taking care of us. And as they lived with the people, they were given these different inventions and things as the time was right. Fire, agriculture. When the species got to that point, they would give them the next invention. Of course, now it's got to the point they can't live among us anymore. There's too many people. But now when the next invention is supposed to be developed, it's put into the atmosphere. They don't care who invents it as long as it is invented in the timeline. And, you know, they're always hear about people all over the world are all working on the same invention at the same time. This is why. They put it out there. Whoever gets it, that's fine with them. That's the way they're doing it now. But I asked them one time, I said, okay. They said, have free will. And then the prime directive of Star Trek is very, very real. Non-interference. You cannot interfere with a developing species. So I said, all right, you're coming and giving these things to the people. Isn't that interference? They said, no, that's a gift that we give them when the time is right. What they do with it is up to them. And a lot of times they don't use it the way we wanted them to use it. They'll turn it into a weapon or they'll use it in a negative way. But it was intended for good. So it gets to that point, this is, they give you a gift. And I said, well, can't you come back and tell them they're not doing it right? That is not what it was intended for? He said, that is interference. Give it to you once and see what you do with it. If you don't use it in the right way, then nothing they can do about it because that would be interference. So many times, they sit there and shake their head. They said, for goodness sake, you know, why are you doing this for? We give it to you for a good reason, and you're turning around and using it like this. This is important for you to know so you can understand the three ways. Anything that is supposed to be developed will be developed in the proper time because they know. They know when each the civilization needs the next information, the next inventions, the next step up the ladder. Well, if you understand they've been watching us since the beginning and taking care of us, when we dropped the bomb, the atomic bomb at the end of World War II, it really got their attention. They've been watching us all during the war. See, they can't stop the wars. They can't stop everything we're doing. They're just watching. They're watching us all during the war. Well, here at the end of the war, we develop atomic power. And what do? With it. We go and make a bomb. That got their attention. They said, we better get down there and see what these kids are up to. And they were very unhappy about it because it was not supposed to be in our timeline yet. When it was time for it to be developed, it was supposed to be developed for peace, for energy, for electricity. It was not supposed to be used for a weapon. But once you create something for negativity, it has that what we call aura of negativity around it, and it will never really be what it was supposed to be. But they said they're really worried about it because they said these kids don't know what they're playing around with. And they just came through this horrible war. They can't take care of themselves. They have no idea what they're doing. Now they bring up atomic power. They can develop. They can destroy the world. They have no idea what they're working with. See, I left a piece out there. It's going to come back to me, though. Okay. I have all this information flooding into my head, and you have no idea the energy that's coming off the audience, too. That's the reason I sit down that way. Okay. But, you see, humans have been on Earth for so long, making the same mistakes over and over and over. We're caught on the wheel of karma, and they know this. They think you can't even figure out your own mind. You've got the country in a mess. You just came through this war. Because people go through the same lives over and over again, making the same mistakes. The karma over and over and over. They don't learn. They've got to keep coming back to do it over again. If Jesus came to save us from anything, what I found out was he came to save us from the wheel of karma because we were just going round and round and around making the same mistakes instead of moving up the ladder. And he was to show us how to live through love. But people didn't understand it, and they killed him. So here we're going life after life after life, being round and around, making the same mistakes over and over again with the same people. They said, these kids can't even take care of their own lives. They can't take care of the world. They're never going to be able to understand atomic power. They will blow up the world. Now, the law of non-interference just goes so far. they are not allowed to interfere unless we get to the point we could destroy the world. If that were to happen, it would cause reverberations throughout the whole solar system and into others of the galaxy. You have no idea what it would do if this was a little planet. We're isolated over here on purpose. We're a young planet. They want to keep us away from everybody else. They don't want us to contaminate the rest of those planets. But if this little insignificant planet were to destroy itself, it would send the reverberations out, and it would also go into other dimensions and interfere with lives from other people on other planets, that it would be like undeclared war. You can't even begin to believe the reverberations it would have if something happened to this planet. So they said that the only way they could ever interfere would if we reached the point we were going to destroy the world, then they would have to step in. This has happened countless times through history, and I'm going to be going over some of that. Oh, but they've always been there. That's the thing. So they knew that atomic power was so dangerous in the hands of children that we could misuse it and destroy the world. They said, what are we going to do now? We can't come in and say, stop it, you can't do it. That's interference. They came up with what I thought is a brilliant plan. They went back to the councils. They had meetings on this. They said, all right, we can't interfere from the outside. Maybe we can influence from the inside. So they came up with a brilliant plan. The people on Earth aren't doing it. They're too stuck in karma, too stuck on the wheel. We're going to have to bring in other souls that have never been here before and that are not stuck on the wheel of karma. Those are the ones we're going to have to bring in. Pure souls, never been contaminated by Earth before. But that was what they decided to do. And the call went out for volunteers. And I've had hundreds of these sessions, and I've written about them in the books about, I find one here, one there, and that's why the whole story is coming together about the three ways. Now, none of you know this consciously, but now that it's coming out in my radio shows and the Project Camelot and the books, I get emails all the time saying, I'm first wave, I'm second wave. Now it makes sense, I finally understand. But on your conscious level, you don't understand. You don't know what in the world's going on. Okay. The call went out. Earth is in trouble. We need souls to volunteer and come and help. We will help Earth. And I've had many, many sessions when some of them are at the meetings they're holding in the spirit world and all different parts, and they'll say, who wants to volunteer? And they say, they raise their hand, I'll go. Then they say, they get down here, and they say, what was I thinking? This is horrible. What was I thinking about? They're coming from two different places. Before, of all those years, when I would take people into past lives, it would be normal past lives. I had people go back to their animals, too, which I still consider that normal. Animals, birds, plants, rocks, even rocks of consciousness. Everything has consciousness. When I have somebody go back to where they're a rock, they say, life is very slow. But in the last book, I talked about a whole lot of lives as animals. But these, and I want to know how the animal thinks, how it sees, how it perceives things. My curiosity again. So those are normal lives. They're all going back to lifetimes where they had lessons they had to learn with people now, karma with different people in their lives, their families, all of this. So that was what my therapy was all about. I find out the cause of the problem. I get people with family problems, physical problems, job problems, and that's just where it was going all these years. Now, in the last several years, things have changed. The only ones I'm finding now who are going back to normal past lives are those that still have karma to repay. The other ones are coming up with something totally different. Now, how can you explain this that happens again and again and again? They go to two places. Some of them were ETs. They don't like that term. On other planets, spaceships, other planets, other dimensions. Some of them lived in places where they were light bodies. They didn't even have a body. Imagine how to get that far advanced and then to volunteer to come down here. And they have never been on Earth before because they've always lived on other planets and other dimensions. Then we have some who have never been anything. They have never left God before. And this is tremendous when I have these sessions with these people. Could you imagine what a shock it would be to these souls? They're so pure and they're so unaffected by our junk here to come into this life. It's very difficult for them to function here. But when I've had them go back to God, they call it the source. They always say the source. It always describes it the same way. And I have a whole section in the last book on what God and what the source is. In my book, Between Death and Life, was the first time I ever got someone going back to God. And they were explaining about, they said, you have no idea what God is. Your perception of God is like a tiny thread compared to what it really is. You have no way of understanding what it is. Then they say, think of those people who do not have as much understanding as metaphysical people do. Their concept of God isn't even as much as a tiny thread. It's no way of understanding the totality of the whole thing. Well, first of all, God is not a man. This is what some of the speakers have been talking about the whole time. God is not a man. You got to get over that. If anything, he would have been a woman. Because women are the creative force. He's neither one. He does not have a gender. He's not male and he's not female. It is a power. It's an energy that is absolutely incredible. Every one of them have gone back to him, described it as a huge, bright light. Some of them say, I'm in the sun, but it doesn't feel, it doesn't burn. It's not like being on fire. It's like being in a huge sun. Some of them describe it as the great central sun. But it is always described as this huge, enormous light, a pulsating light. And when they're there, full of love, that they don't want to leave. And they are always together with all these other, what do you want to call, being souls, essences, however you want to say it. And they're happy. They don't want to leave. There's time to go back into how life got created in the first place. But it came from God. I have all of that in the books, too. I guess maybe I could say a little bit. Whenever God was this huge, bright light, and when he decided, he knew everything, but he was lonely. So he wanted to create others. This is when he burst out. This is the Big Bang theory. He burst out into all these millions and millions of particles. Now, when I take you back to what you really, really are, all you are is a tiny little spark of light. A tiny little spark. That's all you are. So at that point, they all shot out in all directions. Some of these little sparks became planets. Some became galaxies. And many of them became the individual souls. I have many clients that come in and say, I want to know where I came from. And so we all came from the same place. And they think they came from a planet out there or something. No, they all came from God, from the source. And when they sought out, it was like God said, go and learn, my children. Learn everything you can and bring it back to me. when Mandeep was talking about the supercomputer, it's really very much like that because it collects information. It wants to know everything. This is why there is no bad, there is no good. It's all information, experiences, and learning. So you, everything you ever learn in any of your life, at the end, when you graduate, you bring it all back to God. It's kind of like downloading. So anyway, this is how we all began on our journeys. We are like cells in the body of God, turned with all of the information. So these people went back to lives, which I didn't think was possible to never have a life anywhere. In my early days, I wouldn't have believed it. But they were with God. And they were very, very happy. They really didn't want to go. So when they leave, they said it's this feeling of separateness. And it's very traumatic. They don't like it. And you're away from God. And you go your whole life lonely. They want to go back to be with God. So they have been separated. So when they're telling me all these things, and I'm thinking, well, you must have left because here I'm talking to this body laying on the bed. I said, well, why did you decide to leave? They said, we heard the call. And even when the ETs, all of this, they always say the same thing. We heard the call. Earth is in trouble. We need volunteers. We need come and help. And out of their love, they said, we will go and help. Not knowing what they were getting into. I've had some of them say they were warned. They've tried to tell them this is not going to be what you think it's going to be, but if you really want to go and help, you can do it. So they came into the bodies. And sometimes when they get into the bodies, and they're saying, what were we thinking of? So everything is so dense and heavy on Earth that they really don't want to be here. Sound now are what I call the three waves. Because they've come in at different times. And this was the experiment to see because Earth was really needed help. The first wave would be those born right at the end of the Second World War, right about the time I said when they discovered that we dropped the bomb, we didn't need the energy. We couldn't handle it. That's when the new souls began coming in, which I used to say 15. My daughter says, don't be too strict on these ages because we don't know. Some people tell me they're in their 60s and they think they are one of the forerunners because they fit the qualifications. But I would say nowadays, it's been about 60 years hasn't it, since the end of World War II. Those age ranges are the ones who are the forerunners. These are the first wave that came in. And I wrote about the first one was in Keepers of the Garden, first time I ever encountered anyone like that. And I didn't know what to ask them. But now in the other books, I'm finding many, many of these because you're finding them everywhere. Okay, the first wave of people don't want to be here. They don't like it. They're very unhappy. They may have a good family, a good job. But they don't like Earth. They don't like the negativity. They want to go home. They don't know where home is. They just know it's not here. They don't like the violence because they say, why do people do things like that to each other? So it's very difficult for them to live here. And many of these people have tried to commit suicide to get out because they just can't take it. This is not going to solve anything. But I've run into many, many of these in my work. I've had people come in and say, when I leave your office, I'm going to commit suicide. You're my last hope. That's just a lot of responsibility on a therapist. But then we usually find out where it all came from. But I kept wondering, when I was starting writing these books 20 or 30 years ago, that was when you were having a lot of teenagers, they're having problems and trying to commit suicide. Maybe they were part of this first wave, and they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand being here. The second wave came later. It's really what we think it's about 20s and 30s years old now, 30s and 40s year olds, and that's the second wave. The second wave are what I call the generators, the antennas, the channelers. They're here to just be. They're here to channel energy. They will affect anybody they're around. They said you could walk through a mall, a crowded place, and affect everyone that you walk by. This is from the energy generated from the person. This is helping everyone. Because I have people coming, and they want to know their purpose. They want to know what they're supposed to be doing. They say you're not supposed to be doing anything. You're supposed to just be. Well, because they're not very happy with that. They want to know, what am I supposed to do? These people, the second wave, are very gentle. They're usually in the background. If they do get married, I found some that find another soul like themselves. They usually don't want children because they said to have children creates karma. They don't want karma. They want to do their job and get out of here. They don't want to stay here any longer than they have to. And they're afraid the children will find it here. I've had some that have had children. It was very difficult. One woman had to stay in the hospital the entire term of her pregnancy because otherwise she had abort. And they had to keep her drawing that would keep her heartbeat at a certain level the whole time so she could have the child. And when the subconscious came through, it said, you don't realize this is the belief that we're not supposed to have children. And it was very difficult for her to do this. But one thing I have found, too, this first wave and some of the second wave, their energy is totally different from our energy of us earthbound on the wheel of karma. The energy is different. They're coming in for the first time into such a strange, dense, heavy world. So sometimes when they first enter the mother's body, into the fetus, the energy is so different and so strong that the baby will abort because it can't match the frequency of the mother. And I've had some people tell me, you know, that makes sense. My mother had a couple of abortions before. Not, you know what I mean. Not legal. You know what I'm talking about. Miscarriages before they were born. Because they said this is the difference in the energy adjusting to the person. So they said sometimes in order to soul in here, we can't put all of the energy of the total soul in at one time. We have to put a portion of it in so that the baby will survive and be able to be born. And then as it gets a little older, a little more of the soul will come into it. And I've had people come in, they want to know, what's happening? Everything is so different. Different stages in their life. That's because it's been downloaded for their soul. But in the beginning, it's too strong of an energy for the mother to carry the baby. Does any of this make any sense to you? Because even bits and pieces I've had to put together. So this is the energy that is in these two. And I asked him one time, why did the first group have so much more problems in the second group? They said they were the forerunners. They were the pioneers. Somebody had to come and blaze the trail. They had a lot of difficulty. Then the second wave could just follow in their footsteps and go after them. So that's why they had it easier with the second wave. And that's what people say. I know I'm first wave. I never wanted to be here. And they tell me, some of them say, I remember standing in the kitchen talking to my mother when I was about 3 or 4 years old, saying, I want to go home. And she said, well, you are home, honey. And they said, no, I want to go home. And the kid didn't understand what they meant. Well, the third wave are the new children. These are the ones you call the indigo, the new children coming in that are considered the hope of the world. They're the gift of the future, coming in with everything in place. If we go through the going into the new earth and everything, our DNA is being changed so that we can adapt to all the changes that are happening now. These children are coming in with everything in place. Everything is there. We don't have to have any changes now. They are ready and they're willing to go. This is why they're a totally different breed. And Nikki did a good job in her lecture talking about this group. You can understand how they are. I've lectured at conferences about the new children and where there's been panels of these new children. And they explained it. They said, moving forward is all it is. We did it the first time. Why do they have to keep telling us over and over again when we understand that we know the answers? The teacher will ask them for the answer to a problem, maybe a mathematical problem, and they'll give them the answer. They say, how did you know that? I know it. That's not good enough. So naturally, the kids get frustrated. But they said, you must not put these kids on medication. This is what Nikki was saying. The medication will just dampen these abilities. But these are the hope of the world. And she was repeating what I said in my lectures before. Give these kids challenges. They're just bored. Give them something else to do. Even a teacher, if you just give the kids something to tear apart and put back together again, it's something to challenge their mind. So these are the three ways, and they've all come in here to help us to move into the new earth, because we're moving into it now. The vibrations and the frequencies are changing. We are moving into a new world, but something has never happened before in the history of the universe. Everybody's watching, all the other beings. This is the greatest show on earth. They want to see, are we going to be able to pull it off? Are we going to be able to do it? Because it's never happened before. And this would be people, when I have them in session, they'll say, we've come to help the earth go to its next incarnation. The earth is a living being. It is moving. It is evolving. It doesn't care if we go with it or not. It's going to do its thing. If you want to go with it, we're just like fleas on a dog. It doesn't care. It'd rather get rid of it. But if we want to go with us, then we have to adapt, and our bodies have to change to move with us. There's one piece of information that I want to say that I just got a few weeks ago, and I'm still getting information of another group that I never knew about before. So I want to talk about it tonight for the very first time anyway. You see, civilizations down through time have been destroyed because of man. You know, man always wants to go in there and control. And the civilization gets to get to the point where it has great knowledge. It can do anything with the mind. The minds are so developed, they can do anything. And then man will come in and destroy everything because of his greed and power. This has happened time and time again down through history. Atlantis was not the only one. It happened many, many times before that. And in my books, I've talked about all the other civilizations that have reached the peak that had to be destroyed because of what they were doing. They gave me some of this information because they said, you're getting to that point again. You have to know. You can get to the point now where we could destroy the earth again. They can't allow it to happen. This is where all of this is happening to keep it from happening. But the one piece that they gave me that was different was about Atlantis. I've heard time and time again the reason it was destroyed was because mankind was misusing the crystal power. And they were directing it in the wrong way, and they were trying to develop more and more power. Another reason they said it went down was because of their experimentation. They were doing experiments by combining animals and humans. And this is going against the laws of nature. One of the speakers talked about creating slaves. That's what it was. They created the half-man, half-animal beings and used them as slaves. All of the legends you have heard down through time of the half-man, half-animal, they were legends left over from Atlantis. That was where they were developed. They didn't come from Egypt and from Greece. But it was real in those days. They said, you have to know these things because you're pushing it again. You're trying to do it again. You probably know that we are experimenting. They're trying to put animal parts into the human big organs. Can't handle an animal part in your body because your body will reject it. So they are introducing human cells into these pigs so that the organs will be what a human can handle. And they're going transplanting those into the human. Now, in the beginning, there was some scientists that said, we don't want to do this because you don't know what's going to happen. You can eat pork. You can handle animals. But what would happen if you had an organ in your body where the blood was constantly coursing through it? They said you could create a disease that there wouldn't be any cures for. So for a while they stopped it and thought maybe we better look at this. But now they started in again. They said, we're going to do it. That's always their answer. We don't care what's going to happen. We're going to do it. So this is what I was told. You're getting to this point again where you can destroy the earth the same way that Atlantis went. Well, my daughter, she's over there, she's always asked questions about why, if we have free will, why can't we push the envelope? You want to come up here and stay with you? No, if you don't want to, okay. We have a lot of discussions about when I come home and I say, I got a little more piece of information. She said, why couldn't they do this? They destroy their own country or something. What's wrong with that? It's free will. If you want to use these crystal powers, you want to do these things. So there's always a little question mark about that. What does this have to do with threatening the earth to where it could destroy the earth? Then we got the extra piece of information. We found, they said, they didn't tell me this till now. We found out some of the things that Atlantis was fooling around with was what they called dark matter. And I'll probably get some more information, but I think I matter. Because they said the scientists were trying to see if they could create their own universe, try to see if they can create wormholes and make their own universe and use it like God. Doesn't that sound familiar? Where scientists are fooling around now with the collateral, what they call it, the things they're making experiments with. They want to create wormholes. We're headed down the same thing. But they said Atlantis, they began experimenting with it. And it became so bad that it began collapsing the grids of the Earth. When that happened, the Earth could explode. And they said it was not only affecting the grids of the Earth and the DNA of the Earth and the DNA of the people, it was also beginning to spread out and affecting the grids of the solar system and into the universe. So they had no choice. They said, we've got to stop it because all of this, when I just got this information, I'm trying to understand it, it would be the implosion. At the beginning, they said it would be like a folding in on itself as the grid collapsed, and that the Earth would fold in on itself, and then other planets in the galaxies, it would be such a domino effect that it could destroy the entire universe. This is why they said they had to come in and destroy Atlantis. That's a lot more serious than I ever thought it had been before. They had to destroy the whole continent because it couldn't be allowed to go any further. There were some survivors. You know, some of them went to Egypt and to South America. They're the ones that built the pyramids, so they had this knowledge. But it finally made sense. Another piece of this information is these are called the keepers of the grid. The grid keepers. You're all back now. Your job is to help rebuild the grid because we're bringing back our psychic abilities. We're bringing back all the abilities we had in the past. And we have to rebuild the grid back to where they were. And this is why our DNA is being changed and developed as we go through all of this. So they said there are 10,000 souls that have come in with the job of the grid keepers to rebuild the grids of the earth. And none of this is on a conscious level. You're probably doing it when you sleep at night. You don't even know it. Because every night you go out of your body and do work. Somewhere in there, you're all doing work. Maybe you're one of the keepers, but 10,000 at least who are rebuilding the roots of the earth. All of this is going to go in the new book. You see what I mean? Every time I think I've got it all, they throw something else at me. And it's never ending because of the information that's pouring out. Okay, this could go on for quite a while, but let me go to questions, because otherwise I could take a lot longer about the new earth, and I've talked a lot about that before, and it is in the book. So, Paul, did you want to ask questions? I take a breath here. And I need my daughter, because when the little microphones are, they reverberate, and I have a hard time hearing it. So keep my translator. We go to England. I said, she has to translate English for me. Okay.
But I do have an accent. And I know that's difficult for you. Can you understand me, Dora? Oh,
see, it echoes in the microphone and charges. You're the one from Holland, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You were talking to me earlier. Okay. Oh, what's your question?
I have two questions.
Okay.
What is these waves that you were describing? Is that something that happens all over the world? I mean, especially also in underdeveloped countries?
Okay, because I didn't get it. See, the accents bother me too. It's not your fault, it's mine. Okay.
Yes, oh yes, and all the And
everywhere.
Not only in civilized world.
Because I travel all over the world, and I'm
yeah, but
you
are in specific circles. It's also like in Africa, you know, where the people are suffering so much, or in India, or in China. Yeah?
Yeah, it is, because I get this information from everyone that I work with, and I'm in a country. And I get emails from all over the world. They're all saying the same thing. I want. And they said they've never been busted. They're in all these other countries. And they said, I don't never understood myself. And they said, finally, something makes sense. So some of them are getting to the point they want to commit suicide because nothing out here in this world makes any sense. And so I do get emails from all over the world. And I know it's everywhere. Now, the jungles, I don't know if it would help there or not, because it would be, I think, more the developed countries. That would make more sense, wouldn't it? But who's to say? But they're here to raise the vibrations and to help, anyway.
Okay. Then my second question is, everything that is happening now with, you know, the cloning and the technology that's running out of hand, you also have in one of the books about the hollow earth. What is happening there, and how do they react there?
The cloning is not so bad as what they're doing with the mixing of the animal cells with the human. Cloning is not bad.
No, only when they mix the...
Yeah, cloning is okay. It's the mixing of the animals and human cells together. And there's a lot more going on than you think there is.
I know. No,
they tell me things. They say, you're not to lecture on these things. You're not to write about it. It's just for your own knowledge. So there's a lot going on you don't think of. But that's what they don't. It's in the laws of nature.
Yeah, but my question was the whole first. What is happening there?
Okay. They're safe. Yeah, I've written about that. They've been under there. That's where a lot of the survivors of Atlantis went, were to the underground cities underneath the earth. And they're fine. They have tremendous civilizations under there. They can go 3,000 miles an hour through the tunnels. And the entrances to those places are under the pyramids of the world. And they have no interest in our part at all. Believe me, they don't want to be on the surface. They have a sun down there. They have lakes. They have a wonderful civilization. They're quite happy, and they don't want to be involved with us at all. So I don't think they're the ones that are having problems. That's just my opinion. Okay.
Hi, Dolores. Can you hear me? I'm wondering about the 10,000 souls. do you think they are already here, or are they the new children coming in? Are they already here?
They're already here.
So they are not the new children.
No, they're not the new children. These are, well, as far as I know, it's what I just told, that there were 10,000 of them. I think they're already been born because they're already making adjustments to the grid. So they're not part of the new children. Not that I know of. They have a different job.
The adjustments are being made. We are doing this in our sleep on other dimensions, many of us.
Yes, all my people that come to see me are just as normal as you sitting here. Of course, we're not considered normal, are we? I mean, they have no idea this is going on. It's just in their other part of their mind until it comes out of the senses. So they're just living their lives. But at night, when you think you're asleep, you're really not. Your body is the only part that needs to go to sleep. It's the only part that gets tired. The real you, they get bored sitting around waiting for you to wake up so you can get on with this work. So when you go to sleep, the real you is off having all kinds of adventures all over the world, going to the spirit side, going to other planets, and doing work, rescue work, helping people cross over in disasters. So you're the lot of things you're doing at night, if you don't know. People say they wake up tired. That's probably why they've been working all night.
One more question about the 10,000 souls. What are the ages of those, and are they, is this their first lifetime doing that job?
The age of something. I only had the one case so far, and he was back home at the time of Atlantis when it went down. And they were there then taking care of the grid. And they were in a physical body, but they weren't really physical. They were there to take care of the grid, and when it began collapsing was when they were part of that. They just left because they weren't really physical. Oh, I think the woman was in her 40s, maybe 50s. But see, I know I'm going to get more because when I give you one piece, I'll begin to get more information. This is the first I've heard of the grid seekers. But they're not the young ones, as far as I know.
And I also have one more question. I do angel portraits, and I had twice now I've had come up doing young children, and they call them sapphires.
Cool.
Is that another wave of like the indigos and the crystals?
So they say the rainbow is what Vicky says is the rainbow children are the next ones that are coming in now. I don't know, maybe they would be part of the sapphire. Mixture of colors.
My question is, with New Earth coming, I read that everybody's going to end up having to die in order to shift to the new Earth. No?
I'm as much as I know about these things.
Well, I've just heard different...
because she's been doing this as long as I have, and she knows that. That's how I get something new, I tell her. What's
the...
She's
been doing that. Go to the new Earth, you have to die.
No. When you die, you go to the spirit side.
Right.
You do that a lot of
time. And you've been doing, yeah. When the new earth happens, you will take your physical body with you.
Okay.
And after you're over there, for I don't know how long a time you're over there, you'll turn into beings of light. Because you won't need your physical body anymore. When you first go over, you take your physical body. That's why they're saying your diets are changing. Because you have to become lighter if you're going to go.
Right. So how
and they say the best food. How many of you notice your diets are changing? They say the best foods are live foods. They mean fresh fruits and vegetables. Stay away from meat. some chicken and fish is okay, but not the heavy meat, the steaks and things, that ties you down to the earth. And stay away from sugar as much as possible and drink lots and lots of water. And they said, eventually you're going to begin to notice you're wanting to switch more to a liquid diet. And when I was on the radio about this, people called in and said, yeah, I've noticed I want more smoothies. They're going over more to liquid.
But my other question is having children like a guaranteed cycle of karma? That confuses me sometimes. Like, if you have children, are you like stuck to come back? Can I answer that one?
Is it turned off?
Yes, it is. Can I answer that one?
No, you can answer it. Dab at it.
Okay.
I don't know what the question was, but No, it's not a guarantee, because they say when these new souls came in, the three waves, they had like a sheath, a covering put over them to protect them from karma, because they don't want to stay here. But, you know, if you do karma, that's going to hold you here. There's two things you're going to have to get rid of if you want to move into the new earth. One is karma, because if you have karma, you're going to have to stay on that wheel. And the other one is to get rid of fear. Fear is the strongest emotion a human has. It's paralyzing. You get rid of fear, otherwise you can't move, you can't evolve, you can't go into this wonderful thing we're going into. You have to forgive. You have to get rid of karma. Let it go. It doesn't matter. And let go of fear. Those are the two things you got to do. So the other part doesn't matter. But like I said, this one woman had a child, even though it was very difficult, and they said that's okay. Once you get rid of the karma, then you begin to realize if you're incurring any more, because you'll notice what you're saying, what you're doing, it's affecting other people. And then you can stop it before it goes any further. You don't want to make any more karma.
What I'm noticing and what I feel is these waves are having the next wave. And they know each other. That will not create karma. Okay? So that's my opinion.
I think it's interesting when I've done husbands and wives, and they didn't share the session with them. I would do the spouse the next day and find out they were both part of the first wave, the second wave. They found each other. That's good. Otherwise, they go through life and they're very unhappy because they don't want to be here. Okay.
Right.
You remember I spoke in Des Moines a few months ago,
right.
And on the way there, we drove there, 9-hour trip. I lost my boy, and he was at the conference I had to speak at, and I got up there. I said, I couldn't talk. It was scratchy. It's crazy. And I said, oh, my gosh. And they said, we don't care. Talk anyway. And I talked about two, and then Gary could say, you can go longer than 2 hours. And I said, I can't talk. I managed to get through, and he was there. But I said, if I can do that, then there's nothing to be afraid of. And I guess they understood me between the speech and the spark. Okay.
And you did just fine. I'm a little concerned about genetic engineering of brains, because they are now producing feedstock of soybeans that they can spray chemicals on the ground and it will not kill the soybeans. And Monsanto is the main person, the main company that's producing it. And I'm a little concerned. Have you gotten any information about genetic engineering of grain?
Just with the chemicals? I got part of that. Oh, yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all.
And
we travel a lot in Europe and those countries, and they don't want anything from America because they're worried about that genetics. Here again, it's Atlantis. You're going back to interfering with the laws of nature and combining them. It's not good.
But the big companies,
it is affecting the human body, too.
Yes, the big companies are so strong financially that they can take care of the legislation that would prohibit it. So I'm concerned about that. And
well, I'll tell you one thing. Those ethyl stay with the older. You'll stay with what you create. And that's what I asked about. They say the other ones that are into negativity, who don't understand any of this, they said they're the ones that are asleep, will stay with what they have created. The rest of us don't have to live in that world. You will live in the world you create. So we don't want to live in that world. We won't be there.
I'm being told to tell you, I'm giving it this sign right here. It's saying what you focus on. Where you place your focus is your world. And you just keep doing that over and over. So where you focus, make that your focus, where you want to live, what you want to be your world, that is your focus.
Uh-huh. And eliminate fear. Like he's talking about, do you want to live in that kind of a world or do you want to live in a world where that doesn't exist? This is the separation between the new earth and the old earth. And you go there, but those of us who understand what's happening, they said it's guaranteed we're going. So I don't think most people in this room are not going to have to worry. The other ones, they say, don't worry about it. Don't try to convince anyone. That's not what we're here for. They will all find their own path. They'll get there eventually. It doesn't matter. But don't worry about the ones who believe in this because they're already going. Don't worry about the ones that are so stuck in negativity. You can't reach them anyway, and it doesn't do any good. Worry about the ones in the middle who don't really understand what's happening. Get rid of karma. Get rid of fear so they can go.
Don't worry. Don't worry.
Well, people,
they don't want that energy.
So people come up after the conference and they'll say, what about my husband? What about my children? They all have to make their own decisions. We can't live anyone else's life for them. But they all have to make their own decision. They all come in with their own plan.
On a soul level. It's a soul level.
Soul level thing. If they have to work something else out, they'll come back and do it. But just, you know you're going, that's the main thing. And it'll all fall into place. They said they all get there eventually anyway.
Okay. What do you think has taken us away from the timeline of worst-case scenario that Nostradamus and other prophets have described, and how can we keep on the timeline of creating the best case scenario?
We created it with our minds. That's what he said. If you realize which path you're going down, he said he saw a nexus point. At the nexus point was something that had to happen. And from that, it branched out into all the different possibilities and probabilities. So we chose to go the one that was released. And that's what we've done. We've turned the corner.
So we chose it as a group consciousness. And my feeling is that the Internet has been a big help as far as connecting people around the world of like mind.
We're moving away from the negativity that he saw.
Okay. Probably of making people aware. So then they could, that was her job, was making people aware of saying,
aware.
We can do something. So once we heard we can do something, guess what?
We did it.
Yeah.
So it's not that these prophecies were wrong, it's that we changed them with a different timeline. Okay.
Hi. My question is, when you ended convoluted three, and you're talking about the new earth, you had talked about a holographic earth, basically, image over the next. Over
I hope you guys are enjoying this.
And,
as I am.
You know, since that time, I know you've had sessions and things like that. Is there anything that you can share on how you see that happening, or how they told you how that's going to happen? Yes.
Okay. Probably, too, you have the holographic images.
Yeah.
I wonder if you got more information
answer all my questions on all of this, because they said nobody knows what's going to happen. They don't even know. But it's never happened before in the history of a planet. The history of that he falls into another dimension, it's never happened before. So even they don't know. That's what they said, you'll never have all your questions answered. I kept bits and pieces. But they said that's why they're all watching it, because are we going to pull it off? They don't know. So we're still getting pieces of information that are coming through.
But isn't that exciting?
Oh, very, yeah. But the thing I think is, trying to say, it's up to us. It's not up to them. So,
yeah. We chose to be here.
Right.
Well, who was saying that? We are chosen. Daniel was saying that.
Right.
And that's exactly right. We couldn't come here unless we were a master manifestor. So we are creating this whole thing. We wanted this adventure. We're on the front lines of this roller coaster. Isn't it great?
It is.
That's what she always found out, that your master manifestor, it means you can create anything you want. Nothing is impossible.
That's what we're creating.
Right. Well, go on this creation that we're talking about.
Uh-huh. Because either this or destroy the world, because they will not let us do it. So they'll take us down. They said that finally we have reached the critical point, the critical mass. We have enough new souls in here now that we're going to do it. We're going to save the earth. Before it was questionable. But now they said it's like the 100th monkey syndrome.
Yeah.
Now we have reached the critical mass that will be able to save the earth.
Yeah.
So they're very hopeful that it's going to happen.
Have you ever seen a timeline? A timeline? They said that this happened.
Well, we're already in it.
But I mean, at the end of the time?
A lot of it started about 2003.
I want to get there.
And you all are feeling it in your own body.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
The 2012 is just like one of them was saying, the culmination of the energy that happened at that time to push it over. It doesn't mean on that date everything will change. You won't wake up one morning and see everything different. In a different world, it'll just be subtle at first. But about 2003 is when you began noticing the differences. And people have been feeling the effects in their own bodies. And some of them are running to the doctors. They think something's wrong. And actually, all it is the body is making adjustments to the new frequency. And some of the physical symptoms that people have been seeing, you see, to make the shift in energy subtly couldn't happen. It would destroy the human body. It has to be done in degrees. So you will shift, and then you may stay there for several months, and it'll do a little shift again. So some of the physical symptoms they're talking about are high blood pressure, palpitations, AFib, and the heart gets beating irregularly, depression, dizziness. Some people can be dizzy for several days, joint aches and pains, stomach, are those the main ones, headaches. And they go to the doctors can't find anything wrong with them. Of course, they're going to put them on a pill anyway. But it clears up in 2 days, and then it's several months before it happens again. I think now it seems to be going more time between when we feel these effects. They said the older people are the ones that are going to feel it more, because the bodies are too set in their vibration. The young kids, don't worry about them. They're coming in with everything already changed. The ones in the middle may have some of these symptoms. They won't be as severe. You can't handle the energy, you'll leave. You'll make
that
decision.
You leave that way.
Yeah, that's when you die. If you can't handle the energy, it gets too intense, you make the transition. You don't die anyway. You'll just watch it from the other side.
Last question. Some of the other things that we're having, the earthquake, and then supposed to be the oil, and things like that. Have they said anything about the acceleration of time? And time speeding up as we know it.
Time speeding up. Oh, time is definitely speeding up. They're proving this.
Yeah, they said anything.
Yeah, they sent me things in the email showing that time is definitely speeding up. You all know that. Look how fast time goes.
All right, guys. I'm going to stop it right there. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I can listen to that for hours and hours on end. But be sure to listen to some of the podcast guys and this reference out on some of the people I tell you to reference out to their teachings. Because ascension symptoms are very important, and for you to be in the know about what's going on outside of the distractions, right? And the veil, as they say, the veil is thinning, the veil is thinning. The communication, the divine communication between the seen and unseen is getting stronger, right? So anyway, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Please be sure to join me tomorrow, Spiritual Soul Sunday. The shows are normally uploaded before noon on the weekends that I am here. But, yeah, guys, hope you enjoyed that again. And if you want to listen to that, the credits are in the show notes for you to also reference off to Dolores Cannon's work. She's also on Facebook. I believe her daughter is over her page, estates and accounts and stuff like that. And she does a very great job at keeping things updated and abreast. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, guys, till next time. If you need to contact me for anything, my link tree will be in the show notes. All right, guys, till next time. Peace.
I know that life may seem a bit strange at times, but through all of the pain and confusion, you have to remain divine. Do all that you can do to heal and change inside. Know and understand that even flowers have to endure the rain at times. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflowers, sunflowers, so you have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I want you to know that things get better with time, but in the meantime, you have to stop seeing yourself through irrelevant eyes. May you shine like the light that has brought you forth from the heavenly skies, and find more of yourself in the rest of these lines. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, yeah. I know flowers grow, I know flowers grow, I know people change, yeah. Sometimes we need the rain, sunflower souls. There is a time to love and there's a time to heal. Find a way to free your mind and let time reveal. In the midst of all of this love that you're trying to give, you have to learn to love yourself for real and find the time to live. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You haven't been yourself since some time ago. Beautiful sunflower, sunflower soul. You have to learn to let go and forgive in order for the sunshine to show. I know people change, I know flowers, yeah. Sometimes my day's insane, I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain, I'm trying to make a change. I know flowers grow, we cannot stay the same. So if you love the flower, you cannot hate the rain. Sometimes my day's insane, I'm talking major pain. Hope not, I pray in vain, I'm trying to make a change. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, I know flowers grow, I know we need the rain, sunflower souls. I know people change, yeah. I know